since we go on Facebook Live, we just want to welcome all those of our people that are able to watch it at home and pray that they get the sense of what we are experiencing here. It's truly wonderful to be able to experience the presence of God through our worship time. It was fabulous. So we just finished a series, The Power of Abiding. We had a four-part series. We're going through chapter 16 now, and this is not quite a series, but then on chapter 17 of John, we are going to make that a mini-series on prayer, and the prayer, the longest prayer that Jesus actually prayed. Today's message is entitled, When Going is Better Than Staying. When going is better than staying. In your bulletin, there's an outline if you'd like to follow along. And the introduction wrote there, saying goodbye is never easy, whether it's at the airport, or whether it's from a family gathering, or at the deathbed of a loved one. And Jesus and his disciples were sharing the Last Supper, and there was no exception there. They felt a sense of loss. But sometimes going is better than staying for many reasons. Even though momentary sadness fills the atmosphere, there's a time that we have to go to be able to fulfill and accomplish all that God has for us. So just to bring it to a practical level, why is it so difficult to let go? There's a belief that unless, especially as parents, right? There's a belief that unless we are there and present, we will not be able to protect our children. And we have a sense that we're supposed to actually protect our children. And we're supposed to do that. But there's sometimes a point that we cross where it's beyond protection. It's more like hindering them because now we are hovering over them and we're not giving them the space to grow up. And so we need to get to the place where we understand that sometimes we need to let go of our children so they can fulfill what God has called them to do. Some of you have children that have been deployed, and there's a sense of they're going to be going away to serve in the military. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's very difficult to let them go. But if that's what God has called them to do, then that's what God has called them to do. My mom used to say that for a long time, she thought that she was responsible to protect her children until she got to the realization that, and realized that, you know what, these are not really my children, they're God's children. And God will protect them and God will watch over them. That released all the anxiety when she realized that she's not going to be able to be there 24/7. She can't be everywhere that her children are, but now she has this sense, this refreshing sense, that God is there with her children. And so we need to get to a place where we're not hindering our children from growing up. We need to let them go. We teach them, right? We teach them everything. The Bible says to make sure that we teach them the ways of God. And even if they depart, they'll come back. So we have a responsibility to do that, but we need to make sure that we're not hindering them from growing up. And that goes for your, if you're a supervisor, your employees, if you're an owner, your supervisors and employees, we have deacons here, we have people that are trained to do certain things. If you don't let them do what they've been trained to do, then you are hindering their progress. You are hindering their ability to improve and to develop. How many of you ever had a presentation to make and you were scared to death, right? And then you realize, I did it, right? I remember the first sermon I preached. The biggest mistake I made was to wear a cotton shirt that was a baby blue kind of cotton shirt. And I went like this, and you could see, there's a picture, the sweat underneath was like crazy, right? But you do it scared anyway, because you've been called to do something. There's something about being scared of doing something and actually doing it and realizing, you know, it's not as bad, I want to do it again. How many of you have experienced the roller coaster ride? I don't want to go, but then you go the first time, it's just like, Whoa, that was great. You were scared to death. Let's do it again. And some people say, no, just one time is enough. So letting go is actually empowering people. It teaches them trust. It helps them build confidence. And oftentimes we limit people when we don't let them go. We limit them. We hinder their progress. Our responsibility is to teach and then set free, trusting that ultimately God is the one who is in control. And this whole process here, we're going to talk about when going is better than staying, because Jesus said he was going to leave, but then he was going to send a helper to be with his disciples. So our first point is Jesus shares the secret to a victorious life. Now, as we go through John 15, we've talked about I am the vine, you are the branches, and everyone who abides in the vine produces fruit. And those who are producing fruit, they get pruned. Those who are not producing fruit, they cut the branch off. And Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you know, you can ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. And that whole sense, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And then realize that because he chose us, the world hates us, as we saw last week, persecution is coming. So Jesus is talking about all these things here with his disciples. And so he's getting to a place here of saying to them, basically, you know, the reason I was able to actually live a victorious life is because I had this incredible union with the Father. There was a vital union with God, between Jesus and God. And that's what helped him to be able to do everything he could do in the flesh. And then he's teaching his disciples that in order for the disciples to experience a victorious life, they also have to depend on this helper that God is going to send, called the Holy Spirit. And if the relationship is there, if the branch is abiding in the vine, then you're going to have all the resources that you need to be able to do what needs to be done. They were to draw upon the Spirit as Jesus drew upon the Father in order to experience all that was to be given to them, the empowerment, illumination, and comfort when they face whatever was coming their way. But the whole thing was to be drawn to God as Jesus was drawn to God, and to experience all that God was able to do through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says to his disciples, you see all the things that I've done, you'll be able to do even greater things. But he had to go in order for the Spirit to come for us to be able to experience all these things. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or the Helper, the first reaction of the disciples was not a good one. Verse 4 to 6 says, but these things I have spoken to you, again, this is Jesus talking about his departure, so that when their hour comes, all the persecution that was to come, you may remember that I told you of them. These things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. So as long as Jesus was there, there was no need for them to know all these things, because, or to be afraid of all these things, because Jesus was there. Jesus was performing all the miracles. He's walking on water. He's multiplying bread and fish and healing people. I mean, they felt comfortable with Jesus being there. But when Jesus is telling them that he's leaving, verse 5 says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. The disciples were very sorrowful because Jesus is beginning to talk in a tone where they realize he means business. Now, the interesting thing here in verse 5, it says, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where you're going. You know why he's saying that? Because this is the second time he's saying that. In John chapter 14, it begins with verse 1. It says, believe in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so wherever I am, there you may be also. And then Thomas, in verse 5 says, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? And that's when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that was in chapter 14. Now in chapter 16, he's saying, now don't you dare ask me where I'm going, because I've already told you that before. You should know now that I'm going to the Father. And you should be happy that I'm going, because when I go, I will send you the Helper, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus comforts his disciples in verse 7 and says, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper would not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus is saying, it is to your advantage that I go. Why? Because Jesus understands that this is the incredible power of the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come and empower them in such a way that one of the sentences that I read from one of the commentators that I thought was powerful, it says, Jesus was going to make the exhaustless resources of heaven available to all the believers. The exhaustless resources of heaven available to the believers. He knew there's power in the Spirit. And this is why it's so important for us as we think about what God has left us, the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that brought Jesus from the dead, right? He says, that's going to reside in you. You and I have more power than we exercise. Some of us are afraid, and I wonder sometimes why we're afraid, because if God is for us, right, who can be against us? Just because Jesus is not present physically, he did say he would send the Helper. And we need to trust him with what he's saying. See, as long as we stay in our comfort zone, we don't grow. Somebody said it well. It says, real life begins at the end of your comfort zone. Because it's only when you go beyond your comfort zone that you're actually growing. If you're within your comfort zone, if everything is just easy for you to do, then you're not growing anymore. You need to always be pushing a little bit. Where is God leading me? Because again, God is constantly stretching us, allowing us to go a little further, because he has great plans, because there is this exhaustless resource through the Holy Spirit that he wants us to experience. So the promise, the purpose of the promise, verse 8 through 11, I'll just read verse 8 for now. It says, And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus says when the Spirit comes, the Spirit will convict or convince the people. So both words are good translation. When we talk about convict, there's a sense that God sets the standard, and when that standard of the law is there, people will sort of experience a sense of guilt. Whether you're a believer or not, we all know that there's some things that are right and some things that are not so right. And right there, that's something wrong with that, right? Not so right. It's either right or wrong, right? So we feel it. We know it. And so the standard of God stays there and convicts us. But also it convinces us, because we become, as God ministers to us, we become sort of a visual aid of the power of God in us to help the lost soul, to convince the lost soul that maybe there's hope for them. See, because there's nothing different between us as Christians and the world that's not a Christian. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, not even one. So we're all in the same boat. The only difference is we recognize it and we say, God, forgive me my sins. Become my Savior. Make me a child of God. And one of the things that I always include in that whole process of praying, God, forgive me, is God, empower me not to make the same mistake. Because sometimes people just want to rely on the fact that God is a loving God and God will forgive, and he will, but understand that every time we sin, there is a consequence to it. There's a price to be paid. And maybe that price is not today, it's not tomorrow, it's not next week, it's not next month, but it'll come. It'll haunt you. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and what a young child does when they're 5 or 6 or 7 years old can actually catch up with them when they're 12 and 13 and 15. Right? So we need to be very careful how we live our lives, because you may think that right now I don't care, but later on it's going to haunt you. So we need to learn to live a life that is godly. So concerning sin, it says, verse 9, concerning sin because they do not believe in me. The fact that the Spirit is going to convict people of sin is because they don't believe in Christ. The Spirit uses the faithful, loving Christian, you and I, as visual aids. So people can say there is a hope that somebody can change. And that's why when we live our lives the way we're supposed to live our lives, we allow the Spirit of God to transform us. The people that are out there, trust me, as much as they want to think, they want to make you think that they're okay and they're enjoying life, there's something deep down inside of them that's not okay, that's not enjoying life. They're in bondage. They're in bondage, and when they see you transformed, they can either hate you or they can come back and say, maybe there's something you have that I'd like to have. But chances are they'll hate you first anyway. So if you are hated, persecuted, as we learned last week, don't worry about it. Just live your life because you'll become that light that will draw people to God. So John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son of God will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So there's a real sense that if we believe in Jesus, we have salvation. If we don't, we're condemned. So the Holy Spirit will convict us concerning sin. Also concerning righteousness. Verse 10, it says, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. This whole thing here, as we think about righteousness, is God sets up the standard. Our lives need to match that standard. And when we start living according to that life of God, then the people that begin to look at us, what's reflected through us is the Son of God. See, Jesus is not here for us to see what Jesus looks like and acts like. But Jesus says if we live right, we will reflect him as the moon, right? The brightness of the moon is only reflecting the sun that is not seen, but is reflecting through the moon. The same way we can reflect Jesus Christ by living right, even though Jesus is not here. And this is where people begin to notice that there's a difference, and therefore they might come and see us. Again, our theme for the year is discipleship and prayer. And discipleship process is, again, that whole thing of, I want to become like Christ. And again, I want to be like the moon reflecting the power of the sun as we go through each day. Concerning judgment, says verse 11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Now, oftentimes when we think of verse 11, that the ruler of this world has been judged, we think of a future judgment. But I want you to know that the devil has been judged already. He's condemned. There's no power. All right? But he's still ruling the world, and some people are still being deceived by him. And this is where we need to come, because everybody wants to enjoy a better life. Do you know any drug addict that really wants to be a drug addict? Right? Or somebody that smoked that's really want to be, in bondage to cigarettes or alcohol or sexual things, whatever it is. They don't want to. They want to be delivered from those things. So that's why then when we are delivered from those things, we become that light and that hope for them to say, if God could do it for you, maybe he can do it for me. And you'll be able to say, yes, absolutely, he can do it for you. But you see, we are reflecting who God is by being a child of God that's living according to the Word of God, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit, the helper that Jesus sent to us. So we need to get to the place here where there's a couple of things that the Holy Spirit wants to do. One, he wants to do something through us, and one, he wants to do something in us. So in us, in that sense that he wants to transform us. Because if we're going to be able to do this, I have to be changed. I can't just talk to you about change and what that looks like. If I have not changed, I don't know what I'm talking about. But if I have been changed, I know what I'm talking about. If you have been changed, you know what you're talking about. So don't expect the rest of the world to change and you remain the same. It has to start with me. And once it starts with me, then God begins to reveal to other people something in you. See, you and I cannot change the world. We cannot change their thinking because we don't have the power to do that. Only the Holy Spirit of God has the power to do that. See, the Spirit of God will open the eyes of the unbeliever to see in you what God is doing in your life. So you need to persevere, even through persecution, as we talked about last week. Don't be afraid of the persecution because it's going to come. That's just because people don't know better. But I want to make sure you understand one thing. Everybody wants to be delivered from all those things that they've been in bondage to. They're not happy. There's a facade. There's something they want to impress you with, but behind that facade, there's a lot of pain. And you think that they're doing well. You think you even want to be like them, but you have no idea what their lives are like. When they're not in front of you, there's a lot of people hurting, a lot of people in bondage. The only hope they have is the disciples of Christ. Each one of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are the visual aid. So what God is doing in us, and then what he'll be doing through us to convince the people that it is worth changing our mindset, changing our belief, and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior so we can be freed. Everybody wants to be freed from that bondage, trust me. They just don't know how. And until they figure it out, they'll make you feel badly that you're not in the same bondage that they're in. That's peer pressure. It exists. What difference does it make for the believer to have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will guide the believer. Verse 13, chapter 16, verse 13, the first part of it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Now, none of us want to be deceived. We want the truth. We want to walk in the truth because the truth will not mislead you. Well, the truth will not derail you. But the enemy is going to make you think that because, you know, we're going, you know, upstream. Because of the way the world is going, so contrary to Scripture, when we try to follow Scripture, we're the odd ones. We're the crazy ones. We're the fanatics. We got all these labels. And sometimes that get to us. And we decide, maybe I should back off. I want you not to ever back off. Stand your ground. Move forward. Living your life. Being that light. Right? Being that light because you're the only hope that your friends have around you. If you love them enough, if you live according to the word of God, then the transformation will take place in you, and then they're going to want what you want. But we got to be changing. Again, John 13:15 says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And we spend a whole sermon on this aspect of loving one another, because that's what the world sees. Now, we have difficulty with that sometimes even within the church, where we don't love one another. And the world watches that, and that's why they're so quick to say, "You bunch of hypocrites." Right? We're still in the flesh, so that means we're not going to be perfect. And that's okay, but we need to make every effort, every attempt to live right. Because we are the only hope that the people around us have. The Holy Spirit will disclose to the believer what is to come. Verse 13 again. All the way through, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." Wouldn't it be nice for you to understand what is to come? Right? Because all of us, the reason we're afraid to move forward with a lot of things is because we don't know the unknown. We're afraid of the unknown. But one of the things you need to know, as long as you're following the word of God, there's no such a thing as the unknown, because God will never lead you astray. The world will try to make you feel like you're going the wrong way. But you need to stand firm and go by the word of God. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and following says this, "But just as it is written, things which eyes has not seen and ears have not heard, and which have not entered the heart of men, all that God has prepared for those who love him." You know how much God wants you to have some of these things? And we will never have them unless we continue to follow the word of God. Again, the world is going to make you think you're crazy, but you will begin to experience because God will disclose to you all that he wants to do for you, for your family, your coworkers, for the church as a whole. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." There's that sense, Jesus says, go and wait for this helper. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And when he comes upon you, there's going to be unleashed power. And so I want us to be able to get a sense, a grip of this thing here, that there's power within us to do incredible things if we will trust God, live for him, go upstream, let people say whatever they want to say, but you decide to continue to persevere and live according to the word of God. You will never go wrong. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. In verse 14 says, "And he will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Remember, Jesus said to his disciples, "I can't tell you everything because you can't handle it right now. But when the Spirit comes, he's going to tell you more things about me, about Jesus." Verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Now, as I shared, I think in that particular message a couple of weeks ago, that sense of the privilege of being in the know, right? Of knowing things. We all want to know, you know, what other people don't know. Well, God wants to reveal to us things that nobody else knows. And he wants to do that in such a way to lead us in our sense of discernment when we're thinking, what should I do? Where should I go? We need to be able to trust that God will lead us because he will disclose to us all that needs to be done. So as we wrap it up, if Jesus had stayed, the apostles would have continued to stay in their comfort zone and therefore never experienced all the power that they experienced. If Jesus had said that the apostles would not have experienced the joy of being appointed instruments for the kingdom of God. Understand that God has chosen you to be able to do his bidding, to build his kingdom. It's a privilege. Right? Have you ever worked for a company that is very well known, that wherever you go, you're really proud to say, "Well, I work for such and such." Right? Because everybody knows that company. Right? There's a sense of pride. Now, we need to get to the place of recognizing that we are the chosen instrument, the appointed instruments that God is using to build his kingdom. We need to have a sense of pride about the fact that God has chosen us. We didn't choose him. He chose us. And he chose us for a purpose, that we may bear fruit that will last. And so that way, whatever we ask of the Father in his name, he will give to us. So as we reflect on this particular message here, two things that I want you to reflect on this week. One is, how is God working in me? Take a moment to reflect. How is God working in me, in my life? Has there been any transformation in my life? Forget anybody else. Right? Because sometimes we say, we even get to the place of saying, well, the reason I'm this way is because of what they did to me, because of what society is doing to me, because of, you know, my skin color, because of, you know, all these things. No, forget all that. What is God doing in you? How is he transforming you? That's the first part. Second part is, what is God doing through you? How has God used you as that appointed vessel for his kingdom? So look around. What kind of impact are you having? That's not to measure your pride, but it's to measure the fact that God, you are in tune with God. You are abiding in Christ. Because Jesus went and he said he would send his helper. His helper has come. If we're not being changed on the inside, if we're not impacting people, we're not being used for the kingdom of God, then something is not quite right. And there's nothing like honest reflection. We can say we're Christian all day long, but if the people around you don't think so because your actions don't match up, guess what? You are being totally ineffective. And that's not what God has called us for. He's called us to make a difference, right? To go into all the world. Well, start with your own self and your family, your extended family, your coworkers, your group of friends at school, wherever you are, that they are impacted by the way you live. Makes a huge difference. So that's the whole thing for this week here. How is the Holy Spirit, the helper, working in you and through you? Let's bow our heads in prayer. As you have your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to be thinking about the message. Again, the title is, When Going is Better Than Staying. Jesus left so we can have something better. Are we hindering anyone from leaving? Are we hindering ourselves from even leaving? Do we want to get out of our comfort zone? To that place where we're going to have to trust God. Because whenever you're within your comfort zone, you don't need to trust God. And if you are in that place, then you're missing out. Because it's only when you get to the place of having to believe that you need God, that He can begin to do some wonderful things in your life. And maybe there's some of you here today, as you have heard the message, you saying to yourself, I don't know if I've experienced this Holy Spirit that Jesus promised. And that begins by recognizing what Jesus came to do, that He came to live and to die for our sins, to be raised from the dead, so that we can have life. And maybe you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you if you haven't done that. To be able to accept Jesus so the Spirit of God can come and dwell in you and empower you to do what He wants you to do. Is there anyone here today, just by raising your hand, will say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to turn my life over to Him. I want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're all in that place where we've already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then let me encourage you to focus on what difference is the Holy Spirit making in your life and through your life. Father, we want to thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son Jesus to die on a cross so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we can have eternal life. And Father, we thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit, the Helper, to reside in us so that we were not left alone, but the Spirit of God lives within us to empower us, to strengthen us, to illuminate the way, to help us to live a better life. So Father, I pray, allow us this week to focus on who you are and what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.